So as usual, we'll spend a couple of minutes in meditation. Beseech my guru and protector Manjushri, who holds to his heart the scriptural text symbolic of seeing all things as they are, whose understanding shines forth as the sun, unclouded by defilements or the traces of ignorance, who teaches the 60 ways with the patient love of a father for his only son, all creatures caught in his prison samsara, confused in the darkness of ignorance, overwhelmed by the stuff. You whose dragon thunder proclamation of Dharma arouses us from the stupor of our delusions and frees us from the iron chains of our whose powerful sword of wisdom hews down suffering wherever its sprouts appear, clearing away the darkness of all ignorance. I entreat you, O Manjushri, whose princely body is adorned with 112 marks of Buddha, who has completed the 10 stages, achieving the highest perfection of a bodhisattva, who has been pure from the beginning. O loving, living one, with the brilliance of your wisdom, illuminate the darkness enclosing our minds, enlighten our intelligence and wisdom, so that we may gain insight in the Buddha's words and texts that explain them. Umarapatana de. So we talked about adopting the aspirational spirit of enlightenment through a ritual. That can be done in either in the presence of a master or in the presence of a representation of the Buddha, a statue, for example. Yeah? So there are these two systems.
Okay,
so there are these two systems for adopting the aspirational spirit of enlightenment through a ritual, yeah? Either in the presence of a master or not. However, whatever the option, at the beginning, one has to go for refuge in a special way. So that refers to going for refuge in the Mahayana way. And after one has done that, then we need to accumulate a merit and purify the obscurations by doing the seven-branched worship. And after that, then through either we have to sustain the meditations, either through the sevenfold course and effect instruction, or the system for exchanging self and other, and through sustaining the meditations on either one, then we have to develop well the feelings of love and compassion. On the basis of having developed these two well, then one develops, one generates the spirit of enlightenment through
the ritual.
Right, so by sustaining the meditations well, we should be able to develop this heartfelt feelings of love and compassion. So when these feelings are manifest and develop well, then on the basis, you develop the spirit of enlightenment through the ritual. You know, at the time you think, for the benefit of all sentient beings who do not have happiness and who are suffering, I will achieve enlightenment for them. Yeah. You generate this thought, through the means of the ritual. Yeah. So this is generating an aspiration for enlightenment. So this doesn't come with a commitment, right? And this can be done by anyone. Okay. And if this is done, you can do this on your own, And if you do this through a ritual, then it is said that there are many immeasurable benefits. So this is generating just the aspiration, yeah, for generating just the aspirational spirit of enlightenment, yeah. So if this is done at the beginning of the day, if you do this at the beginning of the day as a kind of a motivation for the entire day and night, if one is able to do this well and generate this mind well through this ritual, then there is said to be many benefits here.
What to say? That's any kind of teaching, any kind of chabai, that's a good way.
Yeah, so if we develop this well in the beginning of the day, then whatever we do in that day, then becomes a course for us to achieve full enlightenment. So this if you're able to do this well at the beginning of the day, then it doesn't make a difference to the day, isn't it? Yeah. And it doesn't make a difference to us becoming for our minds to become more virtuous and more good hearted over time, and we accumulate merit and we leave positive and strong imprints on our minds. So if we are able to do this well, then then we will be able to then adopt the aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment. And if we are able to do that, then we will be able to then adopt also the engaged bodhisattva vow. So if we are able to do this well, then we will be able to, having right from the beginning, to generate the aspirational spirit of enlightenment well, and then on the basis, then if we then take the aspirational, generate the aspirational mind of enlightenment that comes with a commitment, and on the basis, then come the day we were able to take the actual bodhisattva vow, and by seeing all the benefits and the purpose, then we will be able to then train in the bodhisattva practices, yeah. And then sooner or later we'll be able to achieve full enlightenment without much difficulty. What is the aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment? On the basis of generating the thought, oh, I will achieve full enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. And on top of that, if one makes a pledge, a commitment, a promise to never ever give up this thought, never ever give up this thought, until enlightenment, never ever give up, then that would be generating the aspirational spirit of enlightenment with a commitment.
Yeah. 제도 아니 메신 담제 같은데 메신 담제서 소환자 다 메신이 딱 가서나 만여버시 제치 보지 말에 어딘가 세디 만여버시 줄알라베 아니 자와 아니 자와 신데 만여버시 줄알라베 어딘데 숨겨요래
Yeah, generating this aspiration, spirit of enlightenment with a commitment means, you know, you make a promise to never ever give up this thought, you know, this intention, right? Never ever give up, yeah. And since one has made that commitment, then it's important to ensure that this promise, you know, never degenerates, right? So we have to train in the causes that will ensure that this aspirational spirit of enlightenment which was generated does not degenerate in this life, and we have to train in the causes to ensure that it will not we will not be separated from it in our future lives. So we have to train in the causes that will not that will enable us, enable whatever aspirational spirit of enlightenment that we have generated to not degenerate in this life. Yeah. So there are four trainings, yeah, that are mentioned in the text. Yeah. Four things to do. Yeah. After we have generated the aspirational spirit of enlightenment with a commitment. So what are the four? So we have first we have to recall the benefits of this spirit of enlightenment. Yeah. Yeah. We have to recall the benefits. Number two, we have to generate this spirit of enlightenment 6 times a day. Number three, training to never abandon any living being. Yeah. And then number four, accumulating the collections of merit and wisdom. And of these four, you know, the training in the training in generating this this spirit of enlightenment 6 times a day is an uncommon precept of generating this spirit of enlightenment, aspirational spirit of enlightenment with a commitment. Then you have the training in the precepts that will cause you not to be separated from your spiritual enlightenment in future lifetimes. Yeah. Okay. So these are two sections. Training in the precept to eliminate the four dark practices or the four black dharmas, and then training in the precept to adopt the four light practices or the four white dharmas.
Yeah.
So We have to eliminate the four dark practices or the four black dharmas. Yeah? So the first one is deceiving abbots, masters, gurus, and those worthy of offerings. Yeah. So these are the objects, yeah, of the first black dharma. So if we consciously deceive them, if we consciously take them for a ride, basically, you know, to lie to them, basically to deceive them consciously, then this becomes the first black dharma. So this black dharma is consciously deceiving them with a lie. Yeah, so this is the first one, yeah. Misleading or deceiving, yeah. These are objects, abbots, masters, gurus, and so forth, yeah. So this is the first black dharma, and the antidote to this is the first white dharma. And the first white dharma is to forsake consciously lying to any living being, yeah, whatsoever, even in jest or for the sake of your life.
Yeah.
So if we are able to train well in the first white dharma, which is consciously the forsake, consciously lying to any living being. So if this is done well, then we will be able to stop, you know, doing the first black dharma, which is consciously misleading or deceiving one's abbot, masters and gurus and the like. So basically, we have to deceiving our abbot, one's abbots, or deceiving abbots, masters, and gurus, and the like. Yeah. So at the end of the day, basically, if we are able to train well in the first white dharma, which is forsaking, consciously lying to any living being. If we were able to do that, then we will not be able to, we will not basically mislead or lie to anyone, right?
So 딘데 강사지라 랑기 아니 교가 제도 주바 있나 그러봐 아니 진짜 아니 나고 춘이 봤다 또다 독자야
So the second black dharma is this. If we cause someone who is cultivating virtue without regret to regret what he or she has done, then that is the second black dharma.
어떻게 다 진대기다 때는 단 나쁘 아니지 나쁘 최니바 아니지 뻔세발라 티니몰라 거부 최시스다 거부 최시바디로 해.
The second white dharma becomes the remedy to or the way to abandon the second black dharma.
어떻게 다 가르스 가르고 출시받아서 나 가르고 출시마 출시 니바티 니바로 가르고 출시
니시마네 Sorry, I made a mistake. The antidote for the second black dharma is the fourth white dharma.
어떻게 딱 가르고 출시받이 가르래스나 다톤다. 다 랑기다 멤버 체중이 숨진지 아니지다 가르소래. 니랑에 태파나 마치 바치세 다 조베 창주 다 돈다 태보 침보나 진짜 슈바스 어디듯이
So the fourth white dharma, which is the antidote to the second black dharma. So the fourth white dharma is, you know, causing someone who you want to mature, you know, instead of letting them enter into the Hinayana, and then you are able to cause them to connect to the Mahayana path. Yeah.
어떻게 다티 가르스나 다티 냠보 도당다고 간대레스나 변나티레 변나 랑기 멤버치 멤버 가르스 멤버치 심진지 아 조베 창조라 군덕이 삼베 군야란데 조베 창조라 과바이나 딘데 섬로 지여바이나 아니 가르스나 신 다 신 겨와 쳐봐라 아니 겨와 겨도 죽바디 미용하시다
So this is the fourth white dharma. So if you are able to mature, ripen someone by helping that person connect to the Mahayana, you know, then we are, if we are able to do that, if you do that, you know, then I guess we will not at the same time be causing anyone who is engaging in virtue to regret what they are doing, isn't it?
先扛杀，他叫不起，叫不起来扛杀了，他可是呢，叫不起些什么移民的话，叫不起个嘛的事，他知道，是吧？那做不强就不行，那你去，那个，可是强，他不起么那么滚动摇摆呢？过把刀，过把切把刀，滚动的三把的摇摆呢？叫不起扛杀了，让给叫不起就出去。
So if we have the wish or if we are trying to connect someone to the Mahayana then we will not have the thought the mind of wanting someone to you know regret you know in doing something virtuous isn't it
어떻게 해서 다 돈다 가르스나 단다 가르고 나고 취니 바디 야와체 강사지 겨바 메발라 겨바 겨도 슈퍼스로와 이제 쳐바이나 나고 취시샤에 나고 취니 바 독수 차에 티 년보다 랑기 멤버치 심지 아니지 다 조베 창조라 진도 슈퍼스 다 어디지
So this the second black dharma So is this causing someone who is engaging in virtue, without someone who is cultivating virtue without regret, causing that person to regret? Yeah. Okay. So that is the second black dharma. The antidote to that is to nurture, ripen any sentient being you're trying to help, and by connecting, you know, the person to full enlightenment. Yeah.
어떻게 제단 쌓다기 떠나 보추 당보질하래 라는 게 그런 게 너변 달라마나 그런 게 딱 중국 고고치 다 중국 고고치 다 그런 게 라마당 너도 가대시는 고코르바 있나래 마코나 있나래 그런 게 고걸 따와 다 그런 게 다 코나 마코네 나 고추샤에 어디 쓴구요.
So as for the first black dharma, deceiving one, deceiving the abbots, the masters, and gurus, and those worthy offerings, you know, it doesn't matter whether you know they are actually deceived or not. You know, the fact that you know one tries, you know, it is really enough to make it a black dharma. Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with the second black dharma, you know, causing someone who's cultivating virtue without regret to regret. Yeah, so he said that it makes no difference whether the person actually regrets or not, as long as once you do something to the effect to cause that person to regret, then it becomes a black dharma. Yeah. So in the text it says, for these first two dark practices, or the two black dharmas, it is said to make no difference whether or not you are able to deceive or whether or not you are able to cause regret. So then the next is the third black dharma. The object of this black dharma is any person who has generated bodhicitta, the spirit of enlightenment. Yeah. And then towards such a person, if we say something something unpleasant motivated by anger, then it becomes the third black dharma. The antidote to the third black dharma is the third white dharma. So the third, the object of the third white dharma is all bodhisattvas. So the idea that we are supposed to develop, you know, about them is that the thing of them is similar to the Buddha. And we are supposed to give voice to whatever good qualities or they have. Yeah.
What do you mean? That's not it. But 가서래 다양 가서래 최소한 다티네 다티네 용어도 왔잖아 다가르고 추순바디라 돈다이니 그러나 창조 선바세디 수인다 강나유 세디 맞아 무시할 까와래스 까와 인장 다 탑이 역쇼디 다 심지어 탐자라 뜸배 두시자지 테라 당난 깨고야 당난 장고야 어떻게 제발이나 아니 나보 추순바디
So the antidote to the third black dharma is basically related to the idea that it's difficult to really say who is and who is not a bodhisattva and where they reside. Yeah. So the training is if you are able to regard, let's say, train in the pure appearance of, regarding everyone, every sentient being, as a Buddha, if you are able to do that, then this becomes an antidote, a remedy to the third black Dharma. So, with respect to the bodhisattvas, then we are supposed to actually give voice to their qualities, the qualities that they do actually possess, yeah, and you know, kind of like making an advertisement, you know, give voice to the qualities that they actually possess.
What do you mean? That tia, Niji, Choksila, Jobacha, said tia, that Zozo, then Yababa Kansa, delight to wish. Yababa Kansa, Kopsu Baba, you know, that changes somebody, you and Dindi, and Jobwesh, Majona, and Tigiam, Kopsu Baba, you know. That Yababa Kansa, Kopsu Mababa, you know, and it's you, Majona, Nibayama, is what is.
So it says in the text that we are supposed to voice in the four directions a praise of their character, isn't it? Yeah. So it says that if there are listeners around, then we have to give voice to the qualities of the bodhisattva, otherwise it becomes a fault. But if there are no listeners around, then you do not incur a fault if you do not voice the qualities that they actually possess in reality. So the essence of this training, this third white dharma, basically is to give voice to the good qualities of any sentient being. Of course, qualities that they do actually possess. Yeah, yeah. So if we actually see qualities that they do actually possess, then we are supposed to give voice to them.
Yeah.
So they said that there are great dangers of speaking disparagingly or about the bodhisattvas to a bodhisattva motivated by anger. Yeah. So it is a cause to go to the lower realms, and also if you happen to be someone who was about to develop realizations, then if we then speak disparagingly out of hatred to a bodhisattva, then it is said that one's realizations will be postponed.
Yeah.
So
조금 그래 숨겨져서 강사 연대 강사 간대지 통보이나 뒤 연대 통보도나 뒤 연대인 차는 대지 아니면 아빠 치과에 어떤 데 치나 다 약보용에 어떻게 납신 연보지 숨겨져.
So if the essence of the training is this, yeah, because as I mentioned before, I mean it's difficult to say who is and who is not a bodhisattva, right? So, so if we speak disparagingly about a bodhisattva, then there are all these faults, right? So if we are able to then adopt the practice of not criticizing others, not pointing out the faults, motivated by anger. Right, and at the same time, since it is worth or it was supposed to praise the qualities of give voice to the qualities or the good things of the bodhisattvas. So then, if we apply this to sentient beings, if we look at the side of their qualities, and then if there are qualities, and then if we can give praise to those qualities, then I guess it will be very good, right? So this the third white dharma is important, yeah. So basically to develop the pure appearance or pure view of seeing everyone as the Buddha, yeah.
No, tindarisha. Tine maata nakshu shivas. Ta tanda. Ta tanda tindare. Ta saksa mahimbes. Ta tanda ini. Ta semche kaya nuwana. Rangi samba namta mahimba. Saksa mahimbe tohne. Ta yuju ches. Yuju chabani na. Ta.
So the fourth black dharma is without any sincerity, then doing things, by through deceit and misrepresentation.
What to say? That on the Gogotai, Mare, that's in the Shan Gogotai, that on the Gogotai, the Kandigitan Gosana, Judan, you see, Nikitan Gogotai, to Sugu, that you seven, Kalerasina, you in the mission, Yobata Jambas, that on the Timber, you in the Menaya, you in the Yodosin, that Shan Gogotai.
So yeah, basically this is again deceiving others, misleading others. Yeah. So one, we deceive others or mislead others, either through deceit or guile. You know, which translated as misrepresentation here. Yeah. Okay. So there are these two, deceit and misrepresentation. What is deceit? Deceit is pretending to have a good quality that you do not have. So this is deceit, yeah? Pretending to have a good quality, even pretending is showing that one has a good quality that one does not really have in reality, yeah? So that is known as deceit. So yeah, I guess this deceit here is this mind, you know. This mind that wishes to, you know, exhibit, you know, or pretend, I mean, which is of course to pretend, yeah, exhibiting good qualities that one does not have. Yeah, it's a mind having that wish, right?
독신 했다가 나시 다 열세디 왜?
요.
다 랑라 냐바 요나야. 다 랑기 냐바 디니. 아. 다 배바 샤바스. 봐봐. 랑기 냐바 배시 샬라 명어 바 셰시. 아니 지 단다 고거 다시. 다 통다.
So that is the other one is it says translated as misrepresentation here. Or I think in the philosophical text, some people translate as gal, yeah, deceit and gal. Anyway, misrepresentation here is again, of course, is done to mislead others, to deceive others, and this is done through hiding the faults, you know? Hiding the faults. So yeah, so this is what a gal is or misrepresentation is in mind that wishes to the heights, you know, one's faults, not to exhibit one's faults. Yeah. The antidote to the fourth black Dharma is the second white Dharma. So the second white Dharma is not deceiving others, sentient beings, but remaining sincere to them. Yeah, it means to be honest. Yeah. So we are supposed to those who have taken generated the aspirational spirit of enlightenment with commitment we have to abandon the four black dharmas here. And the way to do so is to apply the four white dharmas,
right?
So this is the way to ensure that that we will not be separated from the spiritual enlightenment, you know, in future lives, yeah. And the way to do this is to abandon the four black dharmas and to cultivate the four white dharmas.
So
So it's also said that in order to ensure that the spirit enlightenment does not degenerate in future lives, yeah, so we have to give up pride, jealousy, stinginess, and we should cultivate joy to feel happy, you know, when we see the others are doing well. Yeah, so by training in such a way, then this will help us ensure that our whatever aspirational spirit enlightenment has been generated will not degenerate in any way. Huh? And will not degenerate and we will not be separated from it in our future lives. So yeah, so we have to try to conjoin all our activities, you know, with this motivation of bodhicitta, and we should always dedicate, you know, merits to increase, you know, this spirit of enlightenment. So next is the method of repairing. The method of repairing the spirit of enlightenment if you do weaken it. So if you remember the outline for how to adopt the spirit of enlightenment through ritual, yeah? Actually there are three parts, yeah. Attaining that which you have not attained, yeah. Maintaining and not weakening what you have attained. And then now we are at the third one. The method of repairing the spirit of enlightenment if you do weaken it, yeah. The translation for this section, if you're looking at the Lamrim Chenmu, is on page 84, yeah, volume 2, yeah, which is much more accurate. With the exception of the precepts not to relinquish the aspirational spirit of enlightenment and not to mentally abandon living beings, breaking the precepts does not constitute a transgression relative to the spirit of enlightenment until you receive the bodhisattva vows. Nevertheless, if you break the precepts, you break the precept that comes with your commitment to virtue in the interim before you take the bodhisattva vows. You therefore commit a misdeed and you should make a confession with the four powers. So, this is a question for the Lao Jiao. What is the meaning of what of the paragraph which I've just read out?
Yeah, Lao Si. The senior one can say something. Yeah, Benny, what is saying then?
So if one has taken the aspirational spirit of enlightenment,
make shorter.
Okay. So if one does.
Wait. I make it shorter to talk. The message we don't want, simply the we don't want. You must do what. You need to be more conscious.
Why do we need to exclude this? Exclude the precept of giving up bodhicitta and excluding the precept to not mentally abandon sentient beings.
Because this one constitutes the definition of the spirit of enlightenment, which that comes with the two aspiration of achieving Buddhahood for others' welfare.
Okay, then.
So if we give up these two aspirations, which is the definition of aspirational spirit of enlightenment, we actually give up the aspirational bodhicitta, aspirational spirit.
Therefore, we
already given up. So if we do not give up these two aspirations, whatever other things that we may have transgressed becomes a misdeed, but not a total giving up or losing this vow from the root. It means it's only a misdeed which we can repair with by using the four opponent powers. But if we give up the two aspirations, we have to retake the vow from start. We do not possess the Bodhisattva vows anymore.
Okay. I think I got something there. I don't know. Anybody got what he's saying? Anybody have a better idea? Okay. Come and talk.
We are talking about here someone who has adopted the aspirational spirit of enlightenment with a commitment, isn't it? Right? If this person gives up the aspirational spirit of enlightenment, or mentally abandons any living being. Then there's no aspirational spirit enlightenment to talk about in the first place, right? It's already gone, right? So this person who has adopted the spirit, the aspirational spirit of enlightenment, with a commitment, if he, this person breaks the precepts, yeah, with the exception of these two, yeah, mentally abandoning sentient beings or giving up the thought of wanting to achieve enlightenment for sentient beings, right? With the exception of these two, if this person breaks any of the precepts, it is only a fault. It does not become a transgression of the bodhisattva vow, because this person has yet to take the bodhisattva vow. This person has only adopted the aspirational spirit of enlightenment with a commitment. In order to incur a bodhisattva downfall, the person must have taken the bodhisattva vow. I mean, this is, you know, we're getting more specific here, because, you know, usually we talk about even aspirational bodhisattva, we talk about aspirational bodhisattva vow, right? In English commonly, but technically that's not very accurate actually. So the vow always technically only refers to the bodhisattva vow. We don't even have to say engaged bodhisattva vow, it's just the bodhisattva vow, yeah. Okay, this is just translation. So for this person who has adopted the aspiration spirit of enlightenment with a commitment, yeah, then if this person breaks any of the precepts that he has or she has committed to, you know, the white and the black dharma thing, yeah. So with the exception of those two, yeah, the two that's mentioned here. So if this person breaks any of these or the precepts that he or she has promised to keep, then since he it is a fault, it is not a downfall, because he has yet to take the bodhisattva vow. But what does this person need to do? Since he has incurred a fault by breaking the precept, then the person has to confess. Yeah, and confess to applying the four opponent powers.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is so I think we have finished with the aspirational spirit of enlightenment. Yeah. So if you have any questions, you may bring it up right now.
What to say? That's simple.
Okay, if there's nothing, we'll move on. So the next section is how to learn the Bodhisattva deeds after developing the spirit of enlightenment. Okay, so this has three parts. Number one, the reason why you must learn the trainings after developing the spirit of enlightenment. Number two, demonstrating that you will not become a Buddha by learning either method or wisdom separately. Number three, an explanation of the process of learning the precepts. So the first one, the reason why you must learn the trainings after developing the spirit of enlightenment. It is indeed the case that great benefit comes from mere development of the aspirational spirit of enlightenment without learning the trainings of generosity and so forth. Consider in this regard the passage from the life of Maitreya cited earlier. However, you still have to practice the Bodhisattva trainings. If you do not emphasize this practice, you will never become a Buddha. So learn the Bodhisattva deeds. The King of Concentration Sutra also says, therefore, take practice to heart. Why? O Prince, because when you take practice to heart, perfect enlightenment is not hard to attain. So now we are now looking at the reason why we must learn the trainings after developing the spirit of enlightenment. So after having developed bodhicitta, one has to practice, learn the trainings of the bodhisattva, without which one will not be able to achieve enlightenment. For someone who has developed bodhicitta, his or her main goal is enlightenment. So since enlightenment cannot be achieved without learning the trainings of the bodhisattva, so this person must learn the trainings.
Yeah.
So that is one reason why the person who has developed bodhicitta must learn the trainings of the bodhisattva. The other reason is the need to discipline one's own mind. So as it is said in the first stages of meditation, the bodhisattvas who have thus developed the spirit of enlightenment understand that without disciplining themselves, they cannot discipline others, and so involve themselves in the practice of generosity and so forth. Without practice, they will not attain enlightenment.
So
So the Bodhisattva's main job is to benefit the others, and that is done through disciplining the others. But in order to do that, they first have to discipline their own minds. So therefore, they themselves need to train in the Bodhisattva's training, yeah, in the perfections, without which they will not be able to help others, yeah, discipline others. Yeah. So next one, demonstrating that you will not become a Buddha by learning either method or wisdom separately. So this outline is basically talking about the need to train in an unmistaken and complete path in order to achieve enlightenment. It is not enough just to want to attain Buddhahood. You must engage in the method of achieving it. This method has to be unmistaken, because no matter how much you strive on a mistaken path, you will not obtain the result, like milking a horn in the hope of getting milk. Even if the method is unmistaken, if it is not complete in all particulars, striving will not bring the result, just as the absence of a seed, water, earth or the light will preclude the production of a sprout, as it is said in the second stages of meditation. If we enter a mistaken path, or even if the path is unmistaken, but if it is incomplete, then no matter how hard we try, it will be very difficult to achieve full enlightenment. So therefore, we must engage in the practice of a path that is not only unmistaken, but it is complete. Yeah. So that's why it is very important to engage in the threefold activity of hearing, reflection, and meditating. Yeah. On the Buddha's teachings, in order to gain a complete understanding of the entire path that is unmistaken and that is complete. What then is the unmistaken and complete set of causes and conditions? Varuchana's Great Enlightenment Discourse says, Lord of Secrets, the sublime wisdom of omniscience comes from compassion as its root. It comes from the spirit of enlightenment as its cause. It is brought to completion by method. In regard to this, I have already explained compassion. The great trailblazer Kamalasila explains that the spirit of enlightenment is both the conventional and the ultimate spirits of enlightenment, and that method is all virtues such as generosity and so forth. So enlightenment has compassion as its root. Its cause is the spirit of enlightenment, or bodhicitta. So bodhicitta here refers to both the conventional and ultimate bodhicitta, or the conventional and ultimate spirits of enlightenment. Yeah. So the conventional spirit of enlightenment is that we have already looked at, yeah, the Mahayana mind generation, right? Okay, then the ultimate bodhicitta refers to the direct perception of emptiness in the continuum of bodhisattvas. In order to achieve enlightenment, we must train in both method and wisdom. Yeah, we must train in all the methods and wisdom. But it's not sufficient to train in method or wisdom individually. We must train in the path that conjoins, that brings together both method and wisdom. Then the text now brings up a misconception. So this is a misconception that is brought up for discussion. Some persons like the Chinese Hashang, who have a mistaken idea about the path of the two types of spirit of enlightenment, say that any thought, non-virtuous thoughts of course, but even virtuous ones, binds us to cyclic existence, so its results do not transcend cyclic existence. It is like being tied up with a golden rope or with an ordinary rope, like white or dark clouds covering the sky, or like the pain from being beaten by a white or black dog. Therefore, just setting your mind in a state that lacks any thought is the path to future Buddhahood. Such virtues as generosity and ethical discipline are taught for foolish people incapable of such meditations on the definitive. To engage in those deeds after you have found the definitive would be like a king descending to a common status, or like finding an elephant and then searching for its footprints. So this is the misconception that is brought up. Okay, so this is the misconception. Basically, don't think. All thoughts are bad, whether it's non-virtuous or virtuous. Because once you start to think, your mind gets disturbed. And your mind is disturbed, you can't achieve enlightenment. You need to achieve enlightenment without having the mind disturbed. And the way to do that is to focus on nothing. It's to set your mind in a state that lacks any thought. Oh, and through doing this, you will achieve enlightenment. And so, therefore, it's not necessary to train extensively in ethics or in giving.
Sounds good. same thing. What? The ignorance is the bliss. Sometimes good, you don't think all this problem. Inner peace. It's true. What is conception is true or not? Pity of mine. 어떻게 신다 뜻은 다 되냐만 얘기해라. tati len jala chidwa dini sta tap tap ki dini din tap ki cha tamje sanje ki lam nalma mino shekwa chumbo tap shik sta tise ani gewe dimbe nyingbo dangme dangme la soso tobe sherab ki choba kakbe tuen tanbe su jangringbo pongwa dini kamala shile longri tima me lekbar kakne yawa jebe lam sangbo jebar je me jangmus
So the reply to this misconception is there in the text. Harshan's saying, everything to do with method is not an actual path to Buddhahood, is a tremendous denial of the conventional. And since he refutes analyzing with discerning wisdom the selfless reality that is at the heart of the conqueror's teaching, he banishes the system of the ultimate to the far distance. The great Bodhisattva Kamalashila excellently refuted with a mass of scriptural citation and stainless reasoning this epitome of wrong views in which it is maintained that the sublime path consists of the stabilizing the mind in a state that lacks any thought.
Takanashi, not Lapato Sanji, Nimbo, Shuki, Nimbodi, a Dametabe, Dametabe Sherubsa, Dametabe Logi Jebala, and Jebasin Jebasi Chamber, Jebba Machibasi, Dametabe Logi Jebba, Chadan Jebachi, Namdo Koranka and Dugala, and Dametabe Sherubja and Never, Chadan Tindis Dugala, and a Kasore. That tapi chaya kaya, tundabi chaya kaya, what this kagazo, sanjer, sanjer, yunamesta, the jigamaris, that sanjer, sunan kagiris, that midiparis, that lunga, pinning upon kakadus, that kamalashi little sunay.
So Harshan's view actually deprecates the method aspect of the path. It also deprecates the wisdom aspect of the path. In order to the wisdom aspect of the path, which is the wisdom realizing selflessness, this wisdom is the very heart essence of the entire Buddhist teachings. In order to develop this wisdom, one must engage in analysis first. Without analysis, there's no way to develop this wisdom realizing selflessness. So if we adopt Harshan's view to stop all thought, then how on earth is one going to analyze? And without analysis, then how is it possible to develop this wisdom realizing selflessness? So Harshan's assertions basically destroys both the method and wisdom aspect of the path, and in so doing, and how is it possible to achieve full enlightenment? Yeah? So his assertions, his wrong views were eliminated by the great Kamalashila. Yeah?
Jobber, 지양 다 당보네 다 지양 일을 마쳐봐 치지 꿈 잡아있나 다 가랑 다 내는 꿈을 잡아냈어
So Hashem's idea is this. When we talk about the mode of abidance, the mode of abidance or the ultimate reality of all things and events, yeah, that ultimate reality of all things and events, it is something in reality very difficult to describe. True. Yes. It is almost, it's very difficult to describe. So it is likened to nothing. You know? You can't liken it to anything. You know? It's almost like something like, you know, this in itself, indescribable. You cannot describe it. You know? You cannot compare it to anything. Yeah. So, yeah. So, that is the mode of abidance of all phenomena. That's what reality, ultimate nature of reality. Yeah. So since that's the case, so Hashem's view is that then, since the ultimate reality is like that, then from the very beginning when you meditate, then this is how you should meditate, you know, on nothing. Oh. I've been doing that for a long time. I'm not a Buddha yet. So there's no need to. So Hashem's view is that there's no need to think. You know, there's no need to analyze. Yeah, there's no need to analyze. Yeah. You just, you know, meditate on nothingness. You know, which is similar to what you're trying to achieve. That indescribable state of reality. So then there's another view which believes that, you know, prior to realizing emptiness here, you need to engage in analysis here. You know, you need discerning wisdom, you need to analyze. But once you have gotten it, yeah, then you just have to remain in meditative equipoise on emptiness. You don't have to employ the wisdom, the discerning wisdom anymore. You know.
What in this that on that daba or gang that tinde the dabadi that on the mitabare sibyo that in a kai.
So anyway, basically these assertions are wrong. Okay. So we will look at how these assertions are refuted in the next lesson. Yeah. So if you have any questions, you can bring it up.
Point of clarification, please, Ken Rinpoche. For someone to take on the aspiring mind of enlightenment with commitment, that is observing the four white and the four observing the four white dharmas and abandoning the four black dharmas, that person necessarily would have had to take refuge before. Is there an assumption then that that person who has taken refuge before at that time has taken on all the five refuge precepts? The reason I'm asking this is because the very first black dharma is avoiding lying and deceiving. your guru, the abbot and so on. And I thought, you know, if we take the refuge vow of not lying, in that sense, it's already included, isn't it, as a white dharma, not lying to anyone. Yeah, that was my first question. And then the second question is that, is there a particular significance to the sequence in which the black dharma and the white dharma are presented? Is there a particular significance to why they are presented in that specific order? Thank you.
So I'm not sure if there's a reason behind this particular arrangement of the four black and four white dharmas. So as for taking the refuge vow, when one takes the refuge vow, it doesn't mean that that person is also taking on any or all of the lay precepts. And even if one takes the precept of not lying at the time of taking refuge, that precept of not lying does not refer to just any forms of lying. That precept of lying refers to lying about spiritual, or lying about abilities that normal human being does not have. That's very specific, yeah. Isn't it? The lay precept of lying refers to lying about, you know, abilities or realizations that a normal human being does not have, is it? Whereas here in one of the four black dharmas, he is not lying even in jest. So it is more difficult. I mean, it covers more. Yeah, it's more expensive, right?
Okay, that's all. I thought that some shana mare, then jamal chhe.
So I've always been telling you that you have to read the text, yeah. So you really have to push a bit and you have to try, you know. Otherwise, if you don't read the text, then I have to come to class and I have to read everything, and then it will take forever, it will not finish. Yeah. And if you come to class, if you don't read before coming to class, I don't think there is much, I don't know how much benefit there can be. Yeah. So as much as possible, so just please read the text, yeah. So if you read the text, and if you have any qualms, questions, and note it down, and then in class when I give you an opportunity to ask, and then you should be ready. So, if I were to ask, if you were to give you a chance to ask questions in class, and then if there are like 10 people waiting to ask questions, yeah, then it's a sign that then the people are reading the text. Yeah.
Others, there's no sign. So far, I haven't seen any sign.
Of course, when we read the text, there will always be stuff that we won't understand, right? So that's why we ask, yeah. That's why that's how questions come about, right?
Okay. All right, that's it. You can ask, but no answer. Yeah, you can ask. Answer I give you next time.
Ken Rinpoche, I just want to clarify. Last lesson, you talked about the extracted the stages of the actual practice of equalizing and exchanging self with others. Under the extracted. Is extracted from practicing the path by Yangshi Rinpoche. I was just wondering, is this whole section, including the combined practice, the 11 points of a combined practice, under the title Maintaining and Not Weakening, what you have attended? Is not, yeah.
I didn't get the question.
Last week we have covered something like extracted from practicing the path by Yangshi Rinpoche.
No, did we? No, just an additional insert in the notes. Sorry.
Okay, but I just want to ask where that come from. I mean, under it's nothing to do with then the how to adopt the spirit of enlightenment through rituals. Yeah, it's not. It's just separate.
Because I don't know which what the text is. Is it?
Oh, okay.
You know, it's inserted, right? As yeah, just as yeah. a additional
yes,
notes,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know what that is.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. You talk about the 11 method. Next time. Oh yeah, that's ambitious. Number one, some magic business.
Yeah, number one. Okay, finish off with the usual prayers. Yeah.